Podium Audio presents Of Rain and Wrath, Book 1 of The Death Whisperer, written by Katie May, performed by Heather Firth and Sean Masters.
Chapter 1. Cassandra. They say that the grim reaper himself gripped my hand as a newborn baby, and my cries instantly fell silent as his icy, insidious power slithered through my veins. Others say I was born with the insatiable appetite for death, that when I open my mouth, death tunnels in, and when I close it, life escapes in a whooshing exhale. Still, there are others who claim I sold my soul, and all that remains inside of me is a fathomless black hole, an empty vessel pervaded with darkness. I don't know which legend is true, if any, but I prefer the latter one. It feels as if there's a darkness inside of me, one that chases away what little light manages to penetrate the expansive area. It's a heady, disembodied feeling, as if I'm constantly falling, tumbling, diving, collapsing. I was born under the shadow of death, and my life since has been intricately entwined with that of the Grim Reaper. I flick my eyes down to my gloved hands, currently resting cordially on my lap. One red as fire, as red as blood, as red as the tears that sometimes leak down my face, and the other a dark, relentless black. Just like my soul. Another big day, Madame Hera murmurs, running a brush through my blonde curls. I stare blankly at my reflection in the mirror above the vanity, taking note of my pasty skin, pale blonde hair, and sunken features. Violet crescent moons mar the skin beneath my light blue eyes, more pronounced than ever before. The room behind me, I refuse to refer to it as my room, is nothing more than a wooden box. A bed rests against the far wall, one of the back legs shorter than all the others, and contains a threadbare quilt littered with more holes than sand on the beach. A rickety nightstand stands adjacent, holding nothing but a dim lamp and a weathered book, the pages a grody shade of yellow. Only streaks of natural sunlight illuminate the sparsely furnished room, slicing through the patchwork curtains. Madame Hera steps back to survey her work, her bright pink lips pursed. She's a larger woman, with pink skin and similarly colored hair that curls down to the center of her back. Shallow trenches line her face and bracket her eyes, betraying her age. I don't know for certain how old she is, but something in her keen, calculating eyes leads me to believe she's ancient. There you go. Aren't you beautiful? There's no sincerity in her words, though there never is. When she stares at me like that, with comically wide eyes rife with some indecipherable emotion, I never see any love emanating from those cool green depths. Only avarice. My worth is dependent on how many gold coins I can provide her. Nothing else. I don't answer, meeting a stare in the mirror that's hollow and haunted. The once vibrant blue gaze now awash with shades of black. Tarnished. Dull. Broken. Madame Hera creeps up behind me and slowly shifts my blonde hair to the side until my neck is bared. I feel the familiar cold sting of the collar being locked into place. But outwardly, my expression doesn't change. Those blue eyes of mine never waver, never falter, as unyielding and unrelenting as any storm. Come, child. She gives an experimental tug on the leash connected to the collar. Though she doesn't need to, I've already risen and turned to face her. Your fans are waiting. The brown, frayed dress I wear is beginning to unravel in more sections than not.